Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we now have some time, some distance from episode 3 of Loki, and we have time to think about the theories and craft them and like lovingly mold them with our little hands. And we're going to talk about theories and feedback right after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name's Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Ashley Coffin.
Ashley, what has happened, my friend?
I am ready. I'm ready to dive back into this because this episode was just so packed. And doing the lives, yes. Like, we watch it and then we go. And even when we're done, I'm like, I feel like we talked about everything, but I know that there's so much we didn't get to. So that's why I love the feedback episodes.
Well, yeah. And I took, like, 2 pages of notes on the first, when we did our reaction cast. And this morning, I did my rewatch of it. And I took another 2 pages of notes that were completely different from the first 2 pages of notes I took. And, like, since we're doing feedback, I don't even know if I'll get to all of it, but I definitely, like, wrote down some lines and stuff that I want to talk about. There's just so, and maybe I'll just, like, at the end, just run through it and just talk about each thing, because it's,
just
like,
do
there's
a Matt's
so much.
Corner real fast.
A Matt's corner. He was here, but, like, it's so much. I didn't do a good job organizing it, so it would be real scattered. But I'll just see what comes up. The biggest thing, though, like, I have a theory, and I think it is really solid, and I think this is where the show's going. We talked about it last episode, but I really feel strongly that Victor Timely is a patsy. Like, he has nothing to do with, he's not He Who Remains. People, we've all been speculating that he is, like, the new He Who Remains that will rise. I mentioned it on the episode, but I think that his whole timeline was created so that this Victor Timely character can do something that the He Who Remains or the Kang variant that's going to take over needs to happen to preserve the timeline that he has. And, like, they even say that in the very beginning of the episode. He's like, Ravonna, which we've been saying Ravonna forever, so it's hard to remember, but they said her name like 6 times this episode, so it's Ravonna.
Ravonna,
right. Renslayer. Yeah, right. I've been reading it in comics, so it doesn't make sense. She says, "That's it?" And Miss Minutes is like, "That's it." They're talking about putting the book in the window. She says, "This was the plan to protect all of time." So it gives us a sense that this is the beginning place of Kang's new variant. But I don't think that's it. I think that this whole season, and, like, okay, here's why I think that. It seems that Kang has set up all of these characters with weights on their ankles. So Ravonna was given enough information to be the leader of the TVA, but she was still kept in the dark. He doesn't like partners. They reiterate that over and over and over. Right. He doesn't like partners. Miss Minutes was given all the information and, like, this just, like, an all-knowing being across time. She basically ruled with him at the end of the time, but refused to give her a body. And she thinks that's a slight because she had her desires. But, like, really, he's preventing her from making any actual changes herself. Like,
right.
In the end, when she goes back in time and says, "I need you to put this book in this thing," that's because she needs Ravonna. Like, she still has to convince people on the timeline or various variants throughout time to do her bidding or even do his bidding. Like, she can't do anything herself. So it's like, and now this Victor Timely character that He Who Remains has engineered, as far as we can tell, he provided him this book. He probably placed him on the timeline in this place, provided him this book. And then he says, I've always considered this book a correspondence with the brilliant author, the visionary author, Ouroboros. And so, and he also says the thing that he's created is the throughput multiplier, which is exactly what Ouroboros needs. So, like, I think that he is just basically saying, like, I'm the best mind in the universe. I'm the best. I am Kang. I'm the best mind that the 31st century has to offer. And I'm going to put my mind in a place where it can create the thing I need to protect all of time, which is what OB is trying to do. Right. And, but here's the thing. Here's the ankle weights. He put him at a time period, like Victor Timely discusses. He's like, I have my ideas, but like the technology isn't here yet.
Right.
That's the ankle weights. Like this isn't He Who Remains starting in 1893. This is a version that Kang has created that's like can't do enough because he doesn't have the technology. He gave him just enough information, but he didn't give him resources or technology. And like he put him in a time where he'd have, you know, he wouldn't have resources because of his race and because of his poor start in life in that, like, you know, shanty town in Chicago or whatever. Like it's so clear to me rewatching it that every character that he is using, he's using them, but he's also like preventing them from becoming his equal. He's preventing them from becoming his partner. And preventing them from becoming someone who could challenge him for his throne. All the variants across the TVA, he's been resetting their memory for the same reason. The only person he hasn't done that to is Ouroboros, but Ouroboros seems to know nothing. Like he has this really strange combination of being this all-knowing tech genius, but there's this moment. I love it so much. Mobius says, we could hack the system. And Ouroboros looks at him and goes, oh, really? That's great news. And then like, they're like, no, he was throwing it out as an idea. And he's like, oh, no, we can't do that. We're all going to die. Like, he's so naive that he believes Mobius's idea could work because Mobius said it with confidence. Like, Ouroboros has this weird balance of, like, complete knowledge of how the TVA works, but a complete lack of, like, social knowledge and, like, ability to assess whether something is, like, good knowledge, or he just takes in whatever people say and doesn't have guile to him at all.
He's book smart, not street smart.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's been kept in the basement his whole life.
Exactly. And I think that's the thing. He needed Ouroboros to do what Ouroboros is doing, but he didn't want Ouroboros to have connection to other people because that would give Ouroboros the chance to rival him for like power. So now he's shackled Ouroboros with these weights on his ankles to keep him from ever achieving anything. I just think this is like, we're going to find out at the end of the season that all of this has been a Kang plan preventing all these characters from really rival him while giving them the tools to protect time. And I'm here for it, man. I love it.
No, I'm completely with you on that. Probably for the rest of the season. Like, that's one of the best theories that I've heard. And it makes the most sense with what I need to go back and watch them again. I feel so unprepared.
Yeah, I feel really good about that part of the theory. But the thing is, that part of the theory goes with almost every other theory. That's just like how Kang is keeping people down. Now, like, what does that mean for the rest of all of these things? Like, well, also, and this goes with, we had some feedback on it, and you mentioned that actually a bunch of people wrote in this feedback, and I'll read their feedback so I don't just throw it out there. And I think we may have talked about this in the live, too. Christopher Loggle, I hope I said your name right, said, did you notice while watching Loki Season 2, Episode 3, that while visiting young Victor Timely, the screen caption said the sacred timeline, but when visiting the older Victor in 1893, it was the a branch timeline. Thanks for all the fun, Chris. Thanks, Chris. That was brought up by a few people in different emails. So if we missed you, it's because we got a bunch.
But we did kind of talk on that a little bit, because we had said that we thought it was because they threw the book in the window was a branch timeline.
Exactly. But why that makes sense, though, is think about the sacred timeline, right? Like, the sacred timeline is He Who Remains' timeline, and it contains all the resources he needs for whatever. And right. His contingency plan is that he threw a variant of himself into 1893 or whatever, so that if he needed to, he could create this branch timeline. But on the sacred timeline, that means that book was never thrown in. So basically, on the sacred timeline, if that never happened, Victor Timely would just be this confidence man. Maybe not even. Victor Timely would have just lived and died with no resources and no technology to speak of. Even though he's a science-driven kid, even before the book is thrown, he's in there like pouring stuff into beakers. He wouldn't have had the resources or the information to like make anything of himself. And so it's just, I love this. I love that like, we can kind of see the by seeing that it's a branch timeline, we're seeing the like play that Kang has, that he's like setting up a branch timeline just for him to get. He needs to fix the loom. I think he needs to fix the loom just like Obi needs to fix the loom, because it'll protect all of time. And to do that, he needed a spare part, so he created an entire timeline. For a spare part. Like, that so is
crazy.
That is so Kang. It's so comic book Kang. Like, I love it so much, and I love how clear, and like, I think it's going to set up a really tragic story for Victor Timely, because Victor Timely has been like, this is the life that I've always dreamed of, the life that I always dreamed for myself, and I never thought it was going to be possible. It's not possible, bud.
No, you're a spare part.
Yeah, you are a spare part. It's all your. You're a guy who's supposed to put something in, you know, Kang's car or whatever. Like, you are not the guy. And that's why it's so beautiful at the end when Sylvie's about to kill him. She sees that. She sees like, you're not the guy. You're not the guy who did this. I can't kill you. Oh, it's so good, man. It's so freaking good.
See growth like that too in Sylvie. That just little bit of restraint, and I'm like, character growth.
Yeah. And well, it's beautiful character growth, because it's character growth based on real. It's a character challenge causing character growth, because she was like, if variants show up, I'll kill them. That's what she said in episode two.
Kill them all.
Kill them all. But then this one, she sees herself reflected in him. And it just shows that she's a freaking hero, man. Like, she's a freaking hero. She killed the bad guy at the end of time, but like, she's not going to kill someone who's a variant. That's her whole vibe. Like, that's her whole thing. She doesn't do that. She's going to let them make their own mistakes before she goes and hunts them down and kills them at the end of time.
Yeah. It's like, you can either do this, or, you know, your branch will get snapped out of existence, or you can work for me, which probably at the end I'm still going to kill you anyway, but I'm not going to let you know that. And I just want to know, like, what Kang do we think? Do we think it's He Who Remains who's doing this, or is a new Kang kind of pulling the strings here?
The way that He Who Remains described it was like, he would end up there anyway. So I think this season we're seeing he has a plan to sort of give himself the guideposts and the resources to have another version like himself that will arise to protect the sacred timeline in the form that he believes it should exist.
Okay.
I think. But no clue. Like, I don't think it's going to happen, though. I think that's his plan, but I think his plan will be thwarted. I think we're, as you said over and over, Ouroboros, we're seeing this thing that's going to loop over, that has been probably looping. The reason this He Who Remains was so confident is, I think he's been through this cycle multiple times, and he knows, it's just going to work again, but Loki's going to get in the way. The great trickster god is going to pull the greatest trick and like finally break the timeline out of this loop.
It's finally someone like powerful enough to stop him.
Yeah. I love it. I love it so much. Okay, we should get some feedback, because that's why we're here. Let's see what everybody else is talking about. Thank you for my Matt's Corner.
Yeah, you needed it.
Dylan Frazino, one of our patrons, says, "Hey, Pandas, a couple thoughts on episode 3. I agree with Matt." Well, thank you, Dylan.
There you go.
The original Kang definitely still was born in the 31st century, but I think He Who Remains strategically placed Victor Timely in the timeline in an impoverished Chicago to protect slash hide him from the other variants as a contingency plan. That's interesting. That's an interesting take on it, too. That's a different reason than I think, but I dig it. There were a lot of amazing things in this episode, but my favorite little Easter egg was that before he ran to the Ferris wheel, while he was being chased, he was hiding in an ancient Egyptian exhibit. One of the first things Future Kang did was go back to Egypt and become a pharaoh, which we saw at the end of Quantumania. Just a thought that was super cool. Love this show so far. Love this podcast and love you all, 3000. Thank you, Dylan. Love you too, buddy. Love you, 3000.
I'd go right back to Egypt too. It's like my dream time, like ancient Egypt. Like if I had a time machine, I would love to see it.
Interesting. I mean, yeah, absolutely. Just to, you know, find all the aliens and stuff. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Well, I would go back there and have them make me a god, like, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, anytime you go to the past, that's got to be the move, right?
Worshipped as a god, not an actual god. You know.
Yeah. You don't have the powers and all, but you got to get worshipped as a god. If you're going to have, if you're going to create time travel, why not? Just got to affect that timeline. Have you seen Star Trek Into Darkness, I think it is?
Probably not. Benedict Cumberbatch one?
Actually. I really like the beginning of that movie has this like great scene where, you know, they're never supposed to appear in front of like non-warp capable species or whatever. And there's just a great moment where they appear, they have to save their crewmen, so they break the rules and they enter the atmosphere with the ship. And then it shows the like native people like getting on the ground and drawing the shape of the Enterprise like it's their god. And I just like it. I like it.
That's funny. It makes me think of the Eternals, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I like that they, for a while, were cool with being the gods, and then eventually
let's do this. Maybe well, Loki this did it, cool. too, in season one of the show, in the first episode, when he falls through to the sand. Like, he leaves with the Tesseract and then falls through the sand, and he jumps on the rock. He's like, I am here to be your god! And then they're like, I don't understand. He's like, damn it.
Well, that's working. I don't even know if he knew where he was or if it was a time travel thing. That's just what he does when he lands. Like, that's what he does when he lands on Earth in 2012, too. He's like, all right, I'm here to be your god. I'm here to be your god emperor.
Me and him have a lot in common.
You're a real Loki, Ashley. That's true.
Such a Loki.
I definitely like the Pharaoh Easter egg there. But also, the idea that he's hiding from the other variants. It's possible that that's like some sort of holdover from another version or something, that Victor Tommy's there for that reason. The only reason it doesn't really make sense necessarily is because the sacred timeline doesn't have any other variants. So like, but I suppose this brings us back to the question of how do these timelines work, and are there multiple Kang variants with multiple sacred timelines just that are not intersecting? Because in that case, you could have a case where you need your contingency plan to be hidden. Maybe he did believe that the only thing that was going to end up killing him in the end was another Kang variant, you know?
Yeah.
But he did plan for Loki and Sylvie. So I don't know what that means. Yeah. It's interesting too. Like, what was Kang going to do? Cause he was going to give them all the power. And I guess he was just going to go like he was bored at the end of time, right? He's done everything.
He didn't want to stay there anymore.
He didn't want to sit in this citadel. So was he just planning to go like live? Was he going to do what Sylvie wants, which is like live out his life? Like live out versions?
He would snatch up Ravonna and they have two kids and a dog and a white picket fence, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Rachel Titsworth, one of our patrons, says, hey, so I realized that Victor Timely not wanting a partner is in contrast to the tape Loki hears when he slipped into the past TVA. There, He Who Remains was telling Renslayer that he will be proud to lead with her. Maybe this is more evidence that Timely will not go down the exact road that He Who Remains went down, or maybe something will happen that changes Timely's perspective on partnerships. I do wonder if we're seeing a cyclic story unfold with everything that's happening now being on a loop forever. Maybe it will take a Loki to break the cycle. Hey, we just said that. Nice.
Yeah.
can't wait to figure out what happens next.
I think he was lying, you know, like, or playing her, or he just is into her, like,
right,
likes her.
That's the vibe I got, too, is that, like, he could just be lying to her. Like, mm-hmm. he's luring her into, hey, yeah, come take this position at the TVA for a couple thousand years while I go rule the end of time.
Yeah.
We'll be partners in this, but I still have to erase your memory so you won't know anything about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Kind of shitty.
Yeah, or this version of Kang is just going to be different, which is very possible. And maybe, like, his relationship with Renslayer and his willingness to create partners is what will make him an even more powerful version than the He Who Remains they've already taken out, you know?
Yeah, and I still like the idea that we'll have, like, one, maybe two Kangs besides, like, Iron Lad on our side. You know, yeah. Like, the one who's trapped away and, it, like, Kang the Conqueror, we still have, he's got to get out at some point, and I don't know, it'll be interesting to have, like, one on our side.
One thing that'd be really interesting, I've been thinking, like, it'd be cool if Victor Timely was on our side, and like I said, I think now it's shaping up to be a tragic story. Like, I think that it seems like a very, very tragic idea that this guy thinks everyone is now telling him that he is going to be this powerful creature at the end of time. Miss Mitt's telling him, Renslayer's telling him that, Loki, Sylvie, they're all like, hey, we got to protect you because you're the person who creates the TVA. And so he, like, starts to really believe his own hype, and then it just, like, the real Kang shows up and he's not at all.
I'm excited for that. I'm so sick.
I do think that there's, like, now that we know that he's, like, talking to Ouroboros, there's no way he's not going to get to the TVA and meet Ouroboros.
Right. Well, didn't he go through the TVA box at the end to go back to the TVA, right?
He did. So next episode, okay. We're finally going to get that.
Again, someone said this is going to be the one.
You've heard from your industry connections that...
Yes, from my non-disclosable source, who will not disclose anything to me either.
Yeah, has not told you anything, but has seen the episode and says episode 4 is going to be your favorite.
And he told me that like 3 weeks ago.
That's awesome. I think that's going to be a really fun episode, just like based on all the stuff we're talking about. I also think that, like, we teased last week the idea that, like, Ouroboros could be Kang. I think this episode also gives us more information on that. Like, the idea that Victor Timely has been...
playing them?
Well, corresponding with Ouroboros, and he considers this book, this visionary Ouroboros that I've been corresponding with, like, does that mean that Ouroboros is his equal? In which case, does that mean he could be a Kang? It's like, maybe that's the other part. Like, we talk about Victor Timely being thrown in this place... But what if Ouroboros has also been just hiding out in the basement of the TVA, having never been seen before, except for once by Mobius? No one's visited him in 1,000 years. He's just been down there working away. What if that's, like, the Kang that gets awakened, you know? And we talked about, like, what if Kehu Kwan gets to play that, like, really interesting, meaty villain?
I really hope they let him do that.
Me too. And imagine if it's, like, you know, we always talk about, like, when a villain arrives, they need to set up that they're the villain. They need to set up that they have that all-powerful sense. And, like, what if the way he does that is by, like, taking out and, like, showing us the tragedy of Victor Timely? Like, he's just like, thanks, you helped me out. Bam, you're done. I've got what I need. Like, and he ascends, you know?
Ugh.
I would love to see that. I don't know. I think it will happen. I just don't know if it'll be Ouroboros. But with him, like, writing back and forth in that book with Ouroboros, or, like, feeling like it's correspondence, that makes me feel like Ouroboros might be a Kang variant for real.
Interesting. Because he's something.
He's something. Something different. Rachel continues, here's a non-serious red string theory that just popped in my head and made me laugh. What if Victor Timely is actually a Loki variant? He's shown his willingness to double-cross people, and our Loki referred to him as a trickster. I don't actually think this is true, but it amused me to think about. Bye!
Maybe that's why Sylvie couldn't kill him.
Yeah. We get like a love triangle. A Loki love triangle.
Oh, that'd be fun. We haven't seen jealous Loki. I guess we've always seen jealous Loki. Never mind.
Oh, yeah.
Jealous. Not love-infused jealous Loki.
It's true. But, oh, man. I'm still... Like, we talked about it a lot last week because I think it had just happened when we got on the cast, so we were interested about it. But, like, I'm still really, really interested in what the secret is about Ravonna.
Me too.
I, Okay, based on all the stuff I've been talking about, my theory, which, like, may be wrong, and I'm talking too much about it, and, like, sorry if this is my red string theory that, like, is not going to happen, but based on that, like, and based on that conversation he has with her in the past, like, maybe the secret is you're nothing to him. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, he's just using you, and it's going to make you really angry. Like,
aww.
Ooh, ooh.
I hope it's the opposite. I hope it's like, oh, you're married, and you didn't even know.
Yeah. Oof. Ooh, ooh. What about this?
You're, like, his daughter.
Oh, gosh. What about... I mean, that still could make sense. Like maybe that you're his daughter, and, like, she's jealous because, in that same way, like, a stepmom is jealous of a daughter. You know what I mean? Like, there's that, like, that vibe to Miss Minutes. Like, why are you so focused on your daughter? Like, hang out with me. I'm your true love. But what I was thinking is, like, with all this talk about how Kang works with people and uses people, but does not allow them to become his partner. So, like, right. What if he allows her to ascend and lead with him, but doesn't give her eternal life or something like that? Like,
yeah.
Oh no, you can be at my side, but I'm not going to teach you my secrets. You know, like, yeah. I like being with you for a lifetime, but that's it. Or something, like, which is such a weird, it's, like, kind of beautiful. Like, no, I would love to spend a lifetime with you, but I have eternal life. I'm not giving that to you. Like, it's like, yeah, that vampire thing of, like,
yeah, you better turn me if you're going to try to make me your vampire bride. Like, what are we even doing right now?
What are we even doing right now?
That's what got me with, like, Highlander, because he's the only one I've ever seen who stayed in the first Highlander. He stays with Heather until she dies because he stays young and beautiful and she just starts to get old.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't see it that often in movies and stuff.
No. I mean, even the wonderful Captain America didn't.
He was like, who's my best girl?
Oh, gosh, gross. Oh,
sorry.
That was so mean. It's so funny. It's so, like, feels like sacrilegious to me to, like, treat Captain America like a bad dude. It feels like, oh no, don't say.
He's like, I'm not going. I can't do it. I would get why it would be hard to go to visit her.
Yeah.
It takes him a while.
Well, I get the vibe that wasn't his first visit, right?
I don't know. Because she's like, it's been so long.
Well, that's after she, remember, she's having a conversation with him and seems to know everything. They seem comfortable. And then she has a Alzheimer's moment, and then doesn't remember that he's back. It seemed to me in that scene, like, she seems to know him pretty well. Like, oh yes, when I created S.H.I.E.L.D., like, they're talking about life stuff. Like, it does not seem like she's surprised to see him at all. And then she has an Alzheimer's moment and can't remember that he came back. And it's like, she suddenly has this, like, moment, like, it's been so long. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's terrible. Tears my heart out.
Yeah. I'd be like, just one more time, man. We never got to, you know, dance with you know, shut them blinds. Do your duty, Captain.
Hey, let's, how we talk about our sponsor today?
Let's do it.
You guys, sleep is the rock that the rest of your day is built on. It is the very foundation on which everything else in our lives rely. If you don't have good sleep, everything else you are trying to do will suffer. As I've gotten older, that good, deep, refreshing sleep has gotten harder to come by and all the more necessary. I've tried a lot of strategies to make it easier, different bedtime routines, but my favorite one that I've recently found is Beam's Dream Powder, a healthy hot cocoa for sleep.
Yes.
Dream contains a powerful, all-natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, melatonin, and nano-CBD to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed.
A recent clinical study revealed that Dream helped 93% of users wake up feeling more refreshed, and 93% reported that Dream helped them get a more restful night's sleep.
Yeah, and we have both been using this.
Yes.
I am really digging it.
I mean, I am the little girl from The Ring. I am Sumara. I don't sleep. I sleep for maybe 2 hours at a time, and then I'm walking around. You know, it's like you'll fall asleep at 10, you're up at 1, 2:30, 3:30, and it's a problem. By the next day, you've only gotten maybe 4 hours of sleep. But when I tried Beam for the first time, I took it around 11:30. I mixed it with my milk, which made it into this, like, delicious, cinnamon-y, chocolatey kind of drink for fall, which was a perfect time to use it. And I slept through the entire night, which is not something that happens for me. So I was thrilled.
Yeah. In all the like sleep things I've tried over the years, one of the most powerful things I've seen is just like having a good sleep time ritual instead of like, cause for years when I'm a musician. So when I like just get home from gigs, I just fall down and then like watch TV for 2 hours or whatever. But like having a ritual where I do certain things before bed, you know, obviously brush your teeth, blah, blah, blah. But like just little things I do, like putting down the phone, doing the thing, getting set, laying down a certain way, like feeling that getting ready to sleep, my body gets ready. And this one has been huge for me. It's just like, it tastes great. It gives me like good vibes to sit and sip on it. It takes a few minutes to drink it. And I just like sit there and like drink the warm thing. And like my belly feels all warm. It's good stuff.
I've been doing it with a bath.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I know we love baths over here at the Stranded Panda Network.
We do.
And if you don't get sleep, I mean, it causes weight gain, mood issues, poor mental health and stuff like that. So if you take another thing like a bath that's supposed to help with those things and add this, you are like ready. You are ready for bed and you are not waking up until the morning. Find out why Forbes and the New York Times are all talking about Beam and why it's trusted by the world's top athletes and business professionals, including us.
We're the world's top athletes. If you want to try Beam's best-selling dream powder, get up to 40% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/MCUpod and use code MCUpod at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/MCUpod and use code MCUpod for up to 40% off.
Start getting better sleep.
Yeah, do it. Earth to Chris, one of our patrons, says, just listen to the reaction video. I was thinking Jocasta would be an amazing pull for Miss Minutes to use Tara Strong in live action. Pull for Miss Minutes and use Tara Strong in live action. I feel like Jeff's steampunk douchebag was showing a bit talking about the 1800s clothing, LOL.
Who doesn't love 18? Like, that's my favorite time period.
I got so quiet when you guys were talking about 1800 clothing. I know nothing about it.
I love it.
It just like, was like, all right. Give us all
the corsets. I think it's funny that corsets are starting to become like in fashion again, not like just wearing them outside, but like wearing real steel corsets under your clothes. I'm like, people, there is a reason why everybody died at 39 in the 1900s. And besides all of the diseases, it was corsets. So yeah, go ahead. Population control.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Yeah.
Suck yourselves into those steel bone corsets like that. That's healthy. From there all the way back to, you know, kings and queens, like queens and stuff. But you used to die. You would die very early.
Yeah.
And there's a reason, because you're like displacing all your organs.
Terrible for you.
It's okay. I want that 3-inch waist. Ah, you know? Make your tits look great.
Gross. Yeah. No need for corsets. No need for those kinds of corsets anyway.
Worked way too long at a Renaissance fair, man. I know. You would take those things off at the end of, you know, an 8-hour day and you would feel your body go back into place. And you're like, that can't be good.
Yeah.
But still my favorite kind of fashion. Ugh. You go back, you watch like Interview with a Vampire, all those gorgeous dresses with the bum rolls and the hats. We don't wear enough tall hats as a society anymore.
Oh, yeah. I think just in general, our society has gotten like just lazy with fashion. And it's funny because our like runways are still full of like big, crazy things like that. But like, we don't do that on a daily basis.
We don't. Like, that's just
I don't know. Emma Hunter says, I was a little disappointed with episode 1. Episode 2 was good. Episode 3 has left me unable to sleep. I hope in a positive way. That could go either way, I guess. You need Beam.
She needs some Beam.
Yeah, she needs some Beam.
We got you, girl.
Beam's Dream Powder. That's beam.com/MCUpod. Use promo code MCUpod. But continuing her feedback. Firstly, Victor Timely is such a likable variant. I love him, but I want to hate him. After the speech he gave to Sylvie about not being who she thinks he is, he needs protecting at all costs. Just me?
Kind of, girl. A lot of people do not care for him.
Oh, yeah, it's true. I've got, we've got some of that, too.
I'm with you, though.
Yeah, me too. I like him. He who remains is hell-bent on exterminating all of his variants as they're worse than him. But we know that he's a con man. What if we have good variants and they're needed to take him down? So yes. He who remains needs to get rid of them all, good and bad. Here's hoping that Victor is the hero we need. I'm desperate for Iron Lad to be introduced. Maybe he could be a younger he who remains significantly, not another variant, and is the key to taking Kang down in Kang Dynasty. Love you guys for all time, always. Emma from England. Emma from England! Thank you, Emma.
I feel like she's on the same page as us with a lot of what we were just talking about. Like, I feel like there's going to be some good ones in there who are going to help.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I think so too. I think it's going to be a mix. And I think that's what's so interesting about the Victor Timely character is they introduced Kang, He Who Remains. I always just want to say Kang because it's like a blanket term.
It's hard I'm trying to be specific. Yeah.
They introduced He Who Remains as this like god level powerful creature at the end of time who is going to control everything. And so we have this like fear, just like Loki does and Sylvie do. So like it's really interesting when Sylvie decides not to kill him, there's this like half and half feeling behind, like, I don't want her to kill him either because I like Victor, but like, I think she should kill him because he's a Kang variant. Like,
yeah.
They've done a really good job of making me as conflicted as the characters. And that goes all the way back to He Who Remains at the end of time when they're fighting over killing him. I don't know what the right thing to do is in that situation. Like, they've really set up such a wonderful, wonderful moral dilemma for the characters.
Yeah, they really did. I'm still like, Sylvie, you shouldn't have done that, girl. We would have figured it out.
But also, the fact that she doesn't kill him at the end of this episode, I was happy to see it because, like you said, character growth, it's a more interesting decision. But like one thing I also think, as much as I love it, Victor really seemed to like know how to push her buttons. Like, I know he's a confidence man, but he knows nothing about Sylvie. And the fact that he begged for his life in this so specific a way to be like, he just hit her every single like thing that she would need to hear to not kill him. And it makes me like, that seems almost too specific that maybe Victor Timely has knowledge that we don't know he has.
Mm-hmm. I don't trust anybody.
I don't trust anybody. This is terrible. All right. Up next, Jonah King says, Jonah here. I am a 7th year listener. Wow. And I absolutely love y'all's podcast. It's my first time ever writing in, so I hope you all can get to it because I have a very interesting fact that I hope Ashley will like. In Loki season 2, episode 2, can we just take a moment to recognize General Dox for surpassing some of the greatest MCU villains in total kill count?
Sure did.
Yes. I know it's kind of a weird, but she killed only 30% of the branch timelines, which equaled up to somewhere in the 2.7 trillion people. Holy crap. She just surpassed Ronan the Accuser, Hela, and Ego, and that is a big deal. And they just barely gave it a graze. Imagine if it would have been 100%. It's crazy to think about because Thanos is anywhere from 5 to 10 trillion, and what if Doctor Strange is way up there wiping out his entire universe established to be over 10 trillion? Then you have a Sinister Strange from DS Mom with 20 trillion, and not to forget, I don't know where he's getting all these numbers. But maybe they're just calculations, from somewhere.
Math.
To forget Infinity Ultron with well over 20 trillion. Like, it's just crazy to think about, but I know it would be a cool fact to share with you guys. Trust me, I didn't forget Kang either. His number is just way too high to count right now. Plus, all the focus will come to him shortly, hopefully. Stay awesome. Love you guys, 3000. And don't forget, love is a dagger. It's a weapon to be wielded far away or up close. You can see yourself in it. It's beautiful until it makes you bleed. Loki. Keep doing great, Jonah.
Thanks, love it. Jonah. Thank yeah, you. I do appreciate that. Go, girl.
Yeah.
Living her best life.
Well, so, absolutely. Doc says... pulled off one of the greatest, you know, atrocities in all of whatever time and space.
Yeah.
But we also heard this episode, they treated it like a huge deal last episode. And I was like, oh man, we even talked about like, what if there's only six left and that's the six that we see for Secret Wars and blah, blah, blah. We had all these thoughts. But like, then we also found out though this episode that they're regrowing. So I guess the same Nexus events happen again, if not otherwise stopped. So does that mean that the multiverse always takes sort of the same shape? In which case, does pruning a branch, is it like kind of an impermanent death? That like, I mean, yes, it is a death. Like you do, the people on that timeline die, but we get an exact duplicate of that timeline. That's sort of weird. I don't know. It feels like they should have been like more, like those branches are gone. We are getting other branches now. If they said other branches are regrowing, it would have made more sense to me. But it feels like almost like they undid the crazy destruction from last episode.
This might be a dumb question, but now that the Liath is gone, when people get pruned, it's not like they died. They all just get sent somewhere else? Is that what we're supposed to believe? And then the Liaths were eating them?
I don't think a Liath is gone, is he?
I don't remember what they did with the Liath.
Yeah, that's a good question.
But he wasn't being tamed anymore. Like, he was only there tamed by Kang to protect that area.
He was tamed and then left in the void. So if the void still exists, it's possible Eliath is still there. Because I think they, like, use their power to get past him. Like, I don't remember exactly.
They stunned him. They showed a bright light in his face and he was...
Oh, no, no, she enchanted him. That's what it was. Oh, that was it.
Yeah.
She enchanted him. Old man Loki distracted him. They worked together to enchant him, and then they walked through to the Citadel. Because he was the guardian of the gate at the Citadel.
And Ravonne is there now, right?
Yes.
That's how that episode ended? Okay. So I guess we'll find out what's going on over there.
Well, she's in the Citadel. She's not in the void. So we don't know what's happening in the void. But it seems like he's probably still there. It's like Kang left him in a gate. He left him in the yard.
Yeah. Right? He's a fun little guy.
He's in the front yard of the Citadel. But it's a fenced-in yard. At least an electric fence. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess he's still running around or whatever. Running around eating people from different timelines.
Yeah, because where is everybody going?
I guess still the void, I guess, when they get pruned.
It's a lot of people at once.
That's true. Yeah, if all those... that's a good question. We know the pruning sticks take them to the void.
And we call it being pruned.
Right, but pruning a timeline is like this bomb. We don't know if that's like... Is that... pruning the timeline and sending it all there? I guess so, because we saw those buildings and stuff.
Yeah, it's weird. It's hard.
Okay, up next we have Daniel Kuroda says, greetings from sunny Germany, land of pretzels, beer, and pretzel beer bellies.
I like all of those things.
Yeah, me too. It's not really sunny. I have been listening to your podcast for a while now and actually found the show after watching the first episode of Loki's season 1 back in 2021. Jonathan Majors' performance got me so interested in Kang that I started to read some of the comic storylines involving him, including the Kang Dynasty and Only Myself Left to Conquer. The way I remember it, Kang in Quantumania explained that the reason he had been exiled by his variants was his idea was to create one timeline, which would be controlled by him, basically making him He Who Remains. So my idea is that after Sylvie killed He Who Remains and the multiverse opened up again, there has to be a whole new bunch of Nathaniel Richards with the potential to become the Conqueror, and develop the idea of creating a sacred timeline and defeat the Council of Kangs. So in case the Kang from Quantumania is indeed dead, there could still be others like him who can succeed with their plans and forget the Council of Kangs. And Of course, it could be the Kang from Quantumania is alive, and through his time in the quantum realm and wherever he was sent at the end of the film, becomes the most powerful Kang heading into Avengers Kang Dynasty. What we also see in the Loki series is that Kang, while very powerful, makes mistakes and tries to make improvements, like deciding that it is better for people in the TVA to not know that he is running it. Also, Ravonna in season one, although she found out about the timekeepers being robots, still felt a strong enough connection to He Who Remains without knowing who he was to not be against the TVA and what it stands for. Thank you so much for all the nice content. I have had a rough couple years with a couple long stays in hospitals, and listening to the three of you and the occasional guests has helped me a lot. All the best. I love you, 3000. Daniel, a.k.a. Kangiel, a.k.a. Nathaniel Richards.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Thanks, Daniel.
Thank you, Daniel.
I hope you're feeling better.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I hope so. It's incredibly humbling when people tell us that the show has helped them through those kind of rough times. Yeah. So that means a lot to us. So thank you. Yeah, it sounds like he's very much on the right path. I think he's totally right. Like, I think that Kang probably has tons of variants that could rise, and it's just a matter of which one will. And I think that He Who Remains' idea is that he make his version rise. I think, because he has his sacred timeline that he's perfected, and he wants it to be the one that rises again. So I'm assuming that, like, maybe whatever he's doing with Victor and Ouroboros and the TVA is going to set up his version of the 31st century to be the one that has the Kang variant that will be, like, whatever, successful or will conquer.
Hmm. Yeah. I'm looking forward to see some of these Kangs start taking each other out. When are we going to get there? There's too many. It's making it so confusing.
It's a really good point. We keep talking about, like, when will we see, you know, the Avengers fight the Kang dynasty, or like, how will that go down? But like, first the multiversal war has to happen, right? Like, that's right now the Kang, that's interesting, man.
Because we know they didn't like Kang the Conqueror because they put him in the quantum realm. So that was like all of them teaming up against one of them. We don't know really. We know they don't get along with He Who Remains because he was like, I was done with all these losers and I don't want anything to do with them, which is why we're all kind of here, because I can't trust them kind of thing to take over my spot, which is, so he was giving it to them. I don't know. Then you can't trust anything that he says.
They all also just don't exist on his timeline. So like, he created a timeline where they don't exist. So he's trying to, I guess... His overall thing has to be to bring back his timeline. And, like, is there a reason for that? Like, I wonder about He Who Remains, like, his connection to his timeline and his connection to the sacred timeline. Like, is there a reason? And I often think, like, you know, you got to personalize it to make his story really make sense. Like, does he have a family that he cares about? Does he really want them to exist, you know?
What if he's connected to it? Like, if the sacred timeline stops, what if he disappears completely?
That's very possible. It does seem like once he gets to the level he's at, his connection to other beings is probably tenuous at best, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it all about power for him? Like, it is Ravonna, apparently? Like, it's kind of like, you know, Batman the Animated Series. This is a weird pull, but like, it's like there, Mr. Freeze existed in a bunch of incarnations of the Batman franchise, but then like the animated series brought him in as like this character that cared about his wife. You know what I mean? Like, it was all about. So like, what is that for He Who Remains? Or what is that for Kang? Is there a thing that Kang cares about above himself? Is it Ravonna? You know.
He sure didn't set it up with Victor Timely to have that implanted in him, because he turned on her real fast.
Yeah. She does not appreciate partners. All right, we got a couple more feedbacks in our doc, and we're going to take a quick break and get to those up next, right after this. And we're back. I love it. Laziest one ever. And we're back.
This
very like Ghostbusters answering the phone kind of attitude.
Ghostbusters, what do you want?
Up next, we got Gabby says, hi, pandas. I'm the person who wrote in with the serial killer theory, which has been proven wrong, which is totally fine with me. I would just like to say, as soon as I saw the episode was titled 1893, I was very excited. So although I was wrong, I would like to pat myself on the back that it was the 1893 Chicago's World Fair. And the name H.H. Holmes was said. And that's enough for me. Really enjoyed this episode. So much happening and so much new information, but even more questions. A quote comes to mind when I think what is possibly happening. It's the first line of the animated Disney's Peter Pan. All this has happened before, and it will all happen again. I don't remember that being a line from Peter Pan. Cool.
I haven't watched Peter Pan in 37 years. I don't know.
My mind jumps to Battlestar.
Galactica?
Yeah, Battlestar Galactica. Don't they have a very similar thing that the Cylons say?
That's their thing. Oh, yeah.
Don't the Cylons say something about, or like, all this has happened before and it will happen again? So, anyway.
Oh, yeah. The hot blonde one.
Yeah. Okay, and Gabby continues, did the Kang before He Who Remains also set up He Who Remains to run the TVA, just like they're doing with Victor Timely? Thank you for all you do. On your left. Made you look. Gabby.
That was good. We agree.
Yeah. So definitely good call with the Chicago World's Fair and H.H. Holmes. You called it a while back.
I don't think it's going to be Victor Timely, but I do think he's doing something there with him.
Well, and it all begs the question of, like, does each new version of the TVA, does it mean there's a new He Who Remains / Kang? And we've talked about this, but, like, that part that Loki was flashing back to, was that the time period where there was the rise of the new Kang? Or, oh, I've been meaning to say this. I was wrong on a previous episode. I said... I know. It's crazy. I'm sorry, guys. I know that you turned to me for nothing but facts. And I really, really failed. I said that when he goes back in time, they're responding to the fact that there's a bunch of branch timelines. And then that's when Loki runs up to them and says the thing about, hey, where Mobius, I found him. And he's like, who? And he's like, who are you? Like, that's at the end of the season. But I was wrong. There are not branching timelines happening at the same time. Those are two different scenes. Like, that is happening in the future. And then he runs up to Mobius, and we were just assuming those two timelines were connected. They're not actually in that room at that time. They're in, like, the library when he runs up to him. I had forgotten that. So one of my early theories was that Loki was bouncing back and forth between the last time Kang rose and the new time that Kang is rising. And it's sort of like he was going to learn information. And I do still think that's possible, but it definitely isn't necessary because it didn't seem like Mobius was dealing with a crisis. They're just like dealing with normal TVA business or whatever.
Right.
But the question is each new version of the TVA where they infuse the Citadel at the end of time with gold leaf or whatever to create the new version, it all comes back together. Each time that happens, is that also a new Kang variant, or has that same He Who Remains been there through multiple reiterations of the same cycle? Because we really
wouldn't be a He Who Remains that long if it wasn't him, right?
Well, I don't know. We just don't know how long that is. And also the fact that it's the Citadel at the end of time is not in time. So he could be there eons watching his timeline spin, and then Sylvie and Loki show up. They kill him. So at the end, my theory is that at the end of when he's like doing that thing where he's jumping around and then he drops the piece of clay on the desk and says, this moment, I don't know what happens after here.
Yeah.
I think each time that this story plays out, whoever He Who Remains is, and I'm sure maybe it's a new variant, that time happens a little later each time. So, like, He Who Remains rises, like, lives out existence, creates the sacred timeline, lives at this in the Citadel for eons or whatever, and he's getting tired, he's very old, And then he has this experience. Maybe it's with Loki. Maybe it's with different characters each time. Like, who knows who he brings into the Citadel at that point. But he knows what's happening with Loki and Sylvie because he's done this before, and he knows exactly what they're going to do up until that moment. And then the next time, he will know the next moment, and he'll know to avoid that knife or whatever, okay. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, that's funny.
So, like, maybe he's done it 5,000 times, and each time we see him, like, do that little jump thing where he dodges the knives that he knows are coming, where they try to kill him and he jumps around the room, maybe every one of those is another time where they did kill him, and he's, like, had to set this up with each time he's jumping around, you know?
That's crazy. Like, it's too much time.
Yeah, it's a lot of time. But each one would experience it differently, but it's weird and boring because he knows exactly what's going to happen, and that's why it's just so delightful the way Majors plays it right there.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know what's gonna happen.
Yeah, he's like bouncing in his chair, like, ooh.
Yeah, he's like, oh, she's really gonna kill me.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. Oh my gosh, I gotta go watch that episode. All right, up next we got Todd Fitzhugh says, hey, legends. Legends. Ooh. I like it. I hope you're all well and enjoying the show. Episode 3 was another really solid 45 minutes of TV, I thought. I thought it was going to say TVA. I'm too much into the show. As we hit the halfway stage, I just wanted to take stock of all the players and their motivations. A few, I think, are straightforward, while some are still unclear. On the surface, Miss Minutes and Renslayer seem to be wanting to restore things to the way they were. Sylvie clearly wants the TVA blown to Kingdom Come, while B-15 seems to want to let the branches grow and save lives. However, it's when it comes to Mobius and Loki that I become more cloudy as to what is driving them. Yes, initially it's to save the TVA from collapsing, but how do you see the series ending for them? Loki seemed to be on board with the single sacred timeline idea, and Mobius seemed dedicated to the TVA. But I'm not sure yet if he's a single or multiple branch man. sorry, I really enjoyed that sentence. I never really think too deeply when I watch, so I may have missed something. I'd be happy for the series to end with Loki in charge of the TVA, Mobius as his number two, and Sylvie having got promoted to shift manager at McDonald's. Thank you so much for the entertainment each week. Always listening, Todd. Thank you, Todd. Appreciate you.
Todd.
Yeah, I think this question is one of the biggest questions, like, not just for the characters, but for, like, the MCU as, like, a broader thing. Like, what's the goal here? What is this goal? Right? What is this show leading us to? Like, season one ended with lots of timelines. That means the multiverse can happen. It opened the door for the multiverse saga. But, like, how will they tie that up? Will it just, like, end up as another sacred timeline? Will it end up fixing the loom so that more timelines can exist, so that we can have the multiversal war, so that we can have the sacred timeline? And I don't know. I think Loki at this point wants the sacred timeline because he thinks Kang is so dangerous. But
yeah,
maybe we'll find out in this next episode, like, him getting to know Victor, will that alleviate some of that fear of the Kang variants, you know? I don't know.
It's possible. At least, but he, you know, meeting other variants of himself, like, one can be really cool and the other one can be a psychopathic murderer. Like,
yeah. One can be your love and one can be an alligator.
Yeah.
Just, you know, it really does depend on the variant.
I do think within the next three episodes, we are going to get some real Mobius backstory, because I feel like we're owed that at this point, especially with how much they're harking on, like, you don't even care. You don't even want to know. You don't want any of that. And he's like, no, I don't want to know anything. If they don't give us some of where he came from at some point, I'm going to be a little annoyed.
Yeah. I agree completely. I mean, I definitely want it. And, like, I don't know how long this show was supposed to run. Like, I really thought we were going to get it by end of season one. Like, I thought we were going to have him on a jet ski before the end of season one. And now I definitely think we're going to get it. But I don't know, like, they have not announced a season three of this show, but it seems to be a show that is capturing the audience back in a way that, like, Secret Invasion kind of lost. And so if, like, if that happens, if we see, if this ends well, if they can land the fucking plane, like they did not do with Secret Invasion.
Kevin Feige, I read an article that may or may not be true. So allegedly, I read that that this doesn't end in a cliffhanger.
Okay, that's good.
Allegedly,
I have a feeling that they weren't sure they were going to get a season three. They knew they were getting two, but like according to the original timelines, 2024 was supposed to be like Kang Dynasty. So like it seems like is that right? 2024?
I think, isn't it at the beginning of the top of the thing here?
Well, that's been updated. Maybe it was 25. Maybe it was 25 and 26. Yeah, that was it. So it was 2025. So maybe there was room for one more season. But like, I have a feeling all of this stuff on this show is supposed to be leading us towards Kang Dynasty and Secret Wars. Yeah. So how that all happens and how, like, now that they've been pushed off a year, they probably have time to make another season or two if they want to.
It's pushed till 2026?
Yeah. The Kang Dynasty is.
That's the next Avengers movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, it's so far away.
I know, it really is. It feels crazy.
It feels insanely far.
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, we're almost done with 2023, though. Like,
yeah, that's true. But then we have two full years. Ugh. Until a full Avengers movie?
Yeah, and we haven't gotten one in any of phases 4 or 5. So it feels long. I do think
it does feel long.
We're going to have other big crossover events, though. I mean, Deadpool 3 is coming, like, soon.
May, right?
Yeah.
May 3rd, 2024.
Yeah, Deadpool 3. And so, like, 2024, we've got Deadpool 3. A new Captain America movie, which should have a lot of crossovers, and the Thunderbolts, which should have a lot of crossovers. Like,
okay.
Like 2024 is going to be a year for Marvel crossover stuff. It just feels like none of those movies are going to focus on the multiverse, though.
And then it's what? 2025 is just Fantastic Four, and then we go into having to wait for Kang in 2026? Yeah. That is crazy. They might put some more stuff in there, but yeah, as of now, the only thing is supposed to be Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I think that they're going to put more things in there. Like, I also don't think that 2026 like is just going to be Kang Dynasty, and I don't think 2027 is just going to be Secret Wars. I think that they're going to use. I think part of the reason they pushed it back was they see that like these phases are not coming together the way we wanted them to.
Right.
And they're like, we need to fill in a few more like gaps in the story.
Need to tie things together.
Yeah.
Make it make sense.
But the fact that we've got, like, 2025 right now, like you said, Fantastic Four is the only thing on the block. And Blade, is it indefinitely, like, suspended? We have no idea what's up with Blade. Like, at one point, it was supposed to be 2025, but I don't know now. So, I think that 2025 will not just be Fantastic Four. They're going to do something. And then 2026 will be more, and 2027 will likely be more. So, like, I think we're going to get maybe 4 or 5 more movies we don't even know about yet.
Okay, good.
But also Daredevil got put on hold. Like,
I know.
But the thing is, the strike did a lot of this. A lot of the movements do the strike. And I think that the people at Marvel are getting a chance to like figure out what they really want out of this phase and start like Kevin Feige is having a chance. He's not on strike. And him and his like producer teams, I bet, are surely like working on like what they want the benchmarks to be for these movies and how they want to make them. And I think that it will only make the phases 5, 4, 5, and 6 better.
Agreed. Like, hold on. Like, I have no problem with them keeping and rewriting to make sure that it is good, you know?
Yeah, same. Same. All right. Well, that is, I guess that's all the feedback we had. And for episode 3, we appreciate you guys writing in. And keep them coming. MCUcast@gmail.com. We don't mention that enough. So please write in to MCUcast@gmail.com if you have anything you want to talk about or us to talk about. And hit us up at patreon.com/MCUcast for supporting the show. patreon.com/MCUcast. We got a new Illuminati tier patron this week.
Woo! Business daddy.
So thank you very much, our new business daddy. Yes.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thank you to Jazz Viz for joining the Illuminati tier over on Patreon. That's huge. Those, like, seriously, those people who've been doing that and all of our patrons is like what allows us to continually be consistent on the show. Because like we've talked about, we've had problems with our hosting and our ads have had problems here and there and stuff like that. Like our ad money is very variable. That's one way we make money on the show. The other way is the Patreon. And like the Patreon is what we have consistently coming in because you guys have been awesome to support the show. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to be doing a Patreon hang out next week. So
I'm not saying I have favorite children, but the Patreon children are my favorite children.
All right. Well, we'll be back soon. By the way, let me mention this since we've only got one more week of it. By the end of October, we're giving away Loki Steelbooks over on Multiverse News. And if you go to strandedpanda.com and click on Multiverse News, you can see the little ad of how to sign up. It's basically, we're going to give one away to our patrons over on Multiverse News, one away to people who are sharing the podcast, and one away to people who are giving us 5-star reviews on iTunes or Spotify. So if you give us a review, if you want to do any of those things to support Multiverse News, and if you just haven't checked out the show yet, go check it out. We're doing that giveaway, and we really want people to come support. So thank you.
Oh, let me jump in there with my giveaway too, because for Always in October over at Billy and Ashley's Terror Theater.
Sorry, I didn't know you were doing that. We didn't know I was putting it.
We posted on the same fucking day.
I saw. As soon as I posted it, I looked up. I saw your post. Like, oh, whoops. Sorry about that. We didn't realize.
That's okay. We always do it in October.
Okay, I'll know next year.
It's okay. I mean, people like free sit, so whatever. if you go over to Bill and Ashley's Terror Theater for the entire month of October and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, we are going to do a raffle at the end of the month and pick a curated Halloween or horror t-shirt specifically created by Bill and I. So yeah, head over to iTunes, Bill and Ashley's Theater, or Bill and Ashley's Terror Theater, throw us a 5-star review, and you could win a t-shirt.
Sweet. Do it, guys. Do it, guys. So lots of cool ways to win stuff. Go do those things. Support the other shows on the network. Really, really help us out. and we'll be back soon with more Marvel content for our reaction cast this week. I'm freaking excited. I'm episode 4. Episode 4. Everybody's been saying
it. I know. We only have 3 left. Blah.
Yeah, I don't like that. But episode 4 is supposed to be the best. And Ouroboros is going to meet Victor Timely. And I want to know what happens.
Ugh. So soon.
So soon. Talk to you guys soon. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. And a special thanks to all of our subscribers at patreon.com/MCUcast. You make this show possible. And a huge shout out to both, that's right, there's 2 of them now, Illuminati tier patrons, Walter Kreisky III and Lieutenant Bongo. Thank you guys. If you want to find all of our fine Stranded Panda podcasts, go to strandedpanda.com. And for a video version, check out youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you want to take part in our live streams, go to twitch.tv/strandedpandatv.